This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Good morning. Will you please be seated? My name is Fletcher Montgomery. I'm new on the bishop's staff this year. I'm in charge of a couple of things like redevelopment of church properties, which is funny because I have no background in church properties or redevelopment or real estate or finance, but he thinks I can do that, and we're doing it. And also transitions, which is sort of like recruitment and deployment of new clergy, which is really why I'm here this morning, because one of my jobs that I love to do is to come and visit a church the Sunday after a rector has had her or his last Sunday. And basically, I'm here to say, everything's going to be fine. The bishop loves you, it's going to work, and the right person is out there to follow Father Marty here at St. Joseph's. You're in great hands with Mary Ellen and the whole staff, and everything's going to be fine. Now I have a sermon. We'll say more about being fine a little bit later. Well, in today's scripture lessons, we're not talking about us versus them. Today we're talking about we are them and they are us. Because there is no us and them in the kingdom of God that we say we belong to. Now there is an awful lot of us versus them out there in the world, especially in recent years. You don't even have to turn on your television or open a newspaper to know how much the idea of us and them is really out there. Some of our own homes are torn not just by regular dysfunction, but by real strife and verbal violence and even lots of chilly silence. Some close friends haven't spoken in years because of some division or disagreement, unforgiven or never forgotten, disdain nursed daily with the poisons of arrogance and of self-righteousness. But again, in the kingdom of God, of which all of us here are citizens this morning, there must be no trace, not even an inkling, of us versus them. We read in the book of Proverbs, among the people of God, the rich and the poor have these two things in common with one another. One, a name worthy of respect, and two, a right to interact with others with dignity and integrity. That doesn't sound like us versus them to me, and it was written a very, very long time ago. It sounds like the only us and them here in Proverbs has to do with who sits on the money and who doesn't sit on the money. And the thing is, he or she who sits on the money, when it comes to the kingdom of God, means absolutely nothing. Our wealth, our poverty, don't put any of us any further ahead or further behind in the kingdom of God. There is no us versus them. Then we read from the letter according to James. Among the people of God, the haves and the have-nots do not make distinctions among themselves. One's wealth or lack thereof doesn't have anything to do with how each of us is counted or accounted in the kingdom of God. And then in the gospel lesson we just heard, Jesus does two very surprising things in two very surprising places. If you're not much of a student of near Middle Eastern geography or first century Palestinian Judaism, you might not quickly realize that devout Jews at that time not only stuck to themselves almost exclusively, but they also stuck to their territory. They rarely traveled into Gentile lands for any reason. Gentile, by the way, just means the nations, and that's the nations other than Israel. So if you're not of the nation of Israel, you are a Gentile, just to be clear. They rarely traveled into Gentile lands for any reason, but if they did, they had zero contact with locals. They didn't eat together. They didn't enter their homes. There wasn't even speech on the street if it could be avoided. Talk about us versus them, an unfortunate culture. It wasn't so much better, a better than thou type of thing. It was more of a holier than thou type of thing. After all, Gentiles ate things like pork and shellfish. Yum. Gentiles intermarried with other cultures and nations. Gentiles were pagan idolaters, at best, really, and more likely, atheists. Gentiles had enslaved the people of Israel time and time and time again throughout history. They were considered ritually unclean and not to be trusted at all. And yes, friends, I'm talking about the ancestors of most of us here today. So in walks Jesus to a place now in modern-day Lebanon called Tyre. It's probably summertime, we can guess, because the region of the Sea of Galilee, which is his usual hangout, is oppressively hot and muggy in summer. Sounds familiar? Boynton Beach in South Florida? It wasn't unheard of to take a week or two a bit towards the north, even if it meant passing through Gentile regions. It appears he's staying with Jewish friends or relatives who happen to live in this Gentile city. And he's quite on the down low. He doesn't want people to know he's there. We might just imagine he's having a bit of a vacation from all the preaching and miracles that he and disciples have been doing, and they want to be left alone. The crowd is pressing in, though, as they do. And among the local townspeople is, unsurprisingly, a Gentile, but this one happens to be female. She bows down before him, and she begs him to heal her daughter, whom she believes is suffering from some kind of a possession, an evil spirit, perhaps. Now, whether this was a true demonic event, or perhaps the child had epilepsy or some other medical condition that in our day could be diagnosed and treated, the mother was still desperate, begging Jesus for help and for healing. But he says an interesting thing. Let the children be fed first, referring to the people of Israel. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Ouch, dogs? Jesus used the Greek word kuon, which means a street dog, a scavenger, the lowest of the lowly public nuisances, with the teeth bared and the drool coming out of the mouth and the growls. They were right down there with the street rats. This, unfortunately, was what a righteous Jew of the time might have considered a Gentile, especially a woman, as good as a street dog. And what the gospel account does not tell us, but I bet a lot of money that this is actually what happened, I think Jesus winked at her, or maybe cracked the smallest of smiles. He must somehow have communicated in some way to her that he did not share the narrow-minded prejudices of his own people. And here's how we know. The woman replied, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." But this time, for the word dogs, she used the word kunarion, which actually means a fluffy little lap dog, probably with adorable eyes. Maybe even a tiny ponytail tied up on the top of his head with a pink ribbon. A kunarion, very different from that other kind of dog. Neither Jesus nor the woman was there that day to overthrow an entire culture around them. He was there to get some rest. Failed at that. She was there to beg for mercy, but she won at that. Her daughter was healed because of her faith in what the God of Israel could do through this amazing man from Nazareth who was called Jesus. And now the gospel account takes us farther up the Lebanese coastline towards the city of Sidon. The crowd there brings to Jesus a man who could neither hear nor speak, and they begged Jesus to heal him. Rather than making a public spectacle, Jesus takes the man aside privately. He touches the man's ears. He touches the man's mouth. He sighs aloud. And looking towards heaven, he exclaims, "Ephphatha," be opened. And immediately the man was cured and was able to hear and to speak plainly. A challenge before us this morning is, what does Jesus want to open in your life? Maybe a release from a prejudiced attitude or behavior. Maybe an openness of mind about something you might long ago have closed your mind to. Is it a willingness to listen to someone with whom you generally disagree? Will you now be opened to that? How about a welcome of a stranger, regardless of her wealth or lack of it, into your church, into your circle of friends? What about the encouragement of a young man or woman who's questioning and exploring anything and everything about his or her life? This morning, we're called to try our best to lay aside the whole us versus them thing that is so omnipresent in our society and culture. Probably, if we're honest, even in some of our churches, surely not this one. We'll talk about our other Episcopalians who are having more trouble with this than St. Joseph's. Why not this morning, let's together epaphtha. Let's be open to the Holy Spirit, open to listen, open to speak, open to welcome, open to love, open to serve, and open to worship the living God. Now there's a challenge that we can take up with joy. Please pray with me. The Almighty Lord, who is a strength of tower to all who put their trust in him, to whom all things in heaven and on earth and under the earth bow and obey, be now and evermore our defense, and make us know and feel that the only name under heaven given for health and salvation is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you stand with me?